Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. I mentioned on Sunday that I wanted to emphasize a special, well, let me state it this way. I wanted us to ensure that we pray often for the upcoming decision of the Supreme Court, and of course that involves homosexuality and whether or not the Constitution guarantees homosexuals the right to marry and whether states are required to give them a marriage license, and then whether or not then states have to accept licenses from another state. And I mentioned that Brother Gibbs, in the CLA's latest publication, said that our country is at a crossroads, and the decision that is made will shape the direction of the nation for generations to come. I've read somewhere else where someone likened this upcoming decision to the one that was made in Roe versus Wade. Now, that decision was final. However, it has been an issue that is continuously fought over in the public realm. And regardless of the decision of the Supreme Court, this will be far from over. It will be something undoubtedly that is debated heatedly for the next few decades, if the Lord tarries his coming. And so what I also want to do along with that is kind of take a step away from our study on America's spiritual history and look at the subject of homosexuality over the next four or so weeks. It's oftentimes when I look at what other people say about this subject, especially in regards to what the Bible says on the subject, they act like, you know, there's two, three, maybe four verses of Scripture, you know, only one major passage in the New Testament. And of course, they say Jesus never said anything about it, and then there's just a couple of obscure passages in the Old Testament, and that's all that there is. Well, when someone says that, they're showing their ignorance of the Bible, because it's something that is addressed, spoken of, in multitudes of places. Of course, there's many references in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch or the Law. In the historical books of Judges, there's a lengthy chapter that, you know, speaks to the subject of homosexuality. You know, likewise in the book of Genesis, and that particular part of Genesis we could call a historical book because it's telling us the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You have multiple references when God outlines for us the acts of the kings, because many of the good kings took the Sodomites out of the land, and so it's referenced in nearly, four of the six books at least on the kings. And then we'll notice that there's many other references to it. And there's not just one reference in the New Testament. There's many others. And Jesus did address it, if not specifically, he addressed it in principle and in a general sense. Matter of fact, Jesus kind of just took for granted that we understand that this type of behavior is immoral and wrong. He said that marriage was between a man and a woman. That's the way God created it and instituted it in the Garden of Eden, and nothing has changed. What God has instituted then is still true today. And so I want to talk about this subject. And so to get us started, let's read a portion of Romans chapter 1. And I started here because this probably is the most familiar passage in the Bible addressing the subject of homosexuality. And let's begin reading at verse 17. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the Creator more than the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then notice verse 32, the last verse of the chapter, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's pray. Lord, bless as we consider this passage and the subject that it addresses. Lord, help us to have a biblical understanding of these subjects. And Lord, I pray that as our country stands at a crossroads, that a right, that a moral, and that a godly decision would be made, so that, Lord, we're not stuck with the next few decades of immoral perversion being legalized in our country. For Lord, we know that that will ultimately lead to the destruction of thousands of souls. And Lord, perhaps keep Thy hand of blessing from falling upon us as well. So just bless in what's going on in our country. But Lord, regardless of the direction the country continues to go, might we resolve in our minds to stand on the Word of God as it is Thy revelation to each of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, there is a great deal of information contained in the passages that I just read. When you go through Romans chapter 1, especially in this last half of the chapter, you find how man morally declines into being a reprobate, which is someone who completely lacks judgment or the ability to discern between what is right and what is wrong. But you know, a person never comes to that end until they first reject the idea and the truth of God. And that's where it begins. You know, if you actually go up one verse from where we began reading, it mentions the gospel. And here it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That power, the word that's translated power is dynamos, where we get our word dynamite. And the gospel's powerful. It's powerful. It reveals to us, according to that passage, the righteousness of God. It tells us that what is required in order for us to be righteous is perfection. And we're not perfect. But Jesus was and is, and God will give to us His righteousness if we in simple childlike faith will believe in what He's done for us. But you know, the gospel reveals more than just the righteousness of God. Verse 17 says that it also reveals to us, or verse 18, I'm sorry, the wrath of God. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, no matter what kind it is, and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know, normally when we see that word hold, we think something different perhaps than what is truly meant, because it says someone who holds the truth in unrighteousness. Matter of fact, it's so confusing on the surface, which is what caused me to kind of look up the word. And when you look up that word hold, yes, sometimes it does mean exactly what we think, to cling to, you know, to embrace. But sometimes it means to hold back or to restrain. And that's the idea. That is what is meant here in this passage. It's talking about people who hold, that is, hold back or restrain the truth and unrighteousness. In other words, they prevent it from being propagated. And folks, that's exactly the kind of society that we live in today. A society that hinders the truth. If you don't believe me, well, how many reality TV shows are there which allow us to peer into other people's personal lives? I mean, there's dozens of them. Well, how many shows are dedicated to the propagation of the gospel? You might say one, TBN, but I'm not so sure that they're dedicated to that. Even back in the days when I watched TV, and you know, back in the days when I watched TV back in Grafton, there was ABC, CBS, NBC, those three major networks. And then that was 2, 4, and 5. And then there was Channel 11, KPLR. That was the St. Louis station. And then Channel 30, and I don't know what Channel 30 was. Five channels. Then I think occasionally there was a Channel 9 that you could get. It just would be real grainy, you know, with gray lines going through it. And that had the preachers in St. Louis on it. But again, even most of those were a little bit charismatic. So the low-quality stuff was there. I mean, the Christian message was there, but it was the low quality. I wonder if it's still on the air today. But again, our society as a whole and in general hinders the propagation of the truth. You know, I was looking up some things that have to do with this particular subject, things I wouldn't necessarily recommend that you look up, but when Greg Lowe called me the other day, a couple weeks ago now, I guess it's been, he called me because he had engaged in a conversation with one of his friends who supported or spoke in favor of homosexuality. And not necessarily because he was a homosexual. He just had been taught that by his culture. And so we had a number of questions. And, you know, one of the things that we did talk about, and I said, you're really talking about two different things here. You know, and I know some of this just because my wife is in the medical field. But, you know, with the birth of babies, there's often defects, or there's another word I'm trying to think of, but mutations. And sometimes, you know, babies are born with deformities. Sometimes, and from what I understand, they're not born with, you know, both male and female reproductive organs. But they might have one and then part of the other. And again, I'm assuming this is something that's very, very rare. And being a baby, it can be difficult to discern, okay, is this a male or a female? And sometimes parents will give the baby time so that you can see clearly and then, you know, surgically make any corrections that are necessary. But I actually learned a little bit more in doing some research on this. There's a word for organisms that have both male and female reproductive organs, and it's a anybody know the rest of it? Hermaphrodite? But I forget exactly what it is, but humans are not and never will be. They said that snails are, And there was a couple of other things that are genuinely that, but humans are never that, although that's a common misconception. But when I was just researching some of the terms that are used, you know, by the LGBT crowd, I discovered that it's very hard to get to the truth because they're so politically correct that they won't tell it the way that it is. You know, they're trying to, you know, be friendly to that crowd. And my point is this, that the truth sometimes is hard to get out there. Because we live in such a politically correct society, we can't just come out and say it. We have to be careful and sensitive and make sure we don't hurt somebody's feelings. And maybe naturally, yeah, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, but there are times when we need to speak up because it is in the best interest of others. You know, how many studies or research groups do we hear from every day and every week in the news media? I mean, it's a constant. This study found this. These researchers found that. And wow, we're just inundated with statistics and research and studies. But if you want to find the average life expectancy of a homosexual, you're going to be hard-pressed to find that in the news. And some would dispute the statistics I've read, but last time I read, you know, the average life expectancy of a homosexual male was the low 40s, 41, 43. That's not a very long life expectancy. What do you think the news media would do if they all of a sudden discovered that Diet Mountain Dew, people who drink Diet Mountain Dew had a life expectancy of 41? Let me tell you something. It would be on the front page of every newspaper, be on the front of Time and Newsweek and USA Today and on ABC, NBC and CBS and CNN nightly. Because it's politically correct to pick on soda pop. But boy, don't pick on homosexuality, even if the data is true. Our society restrains the truth. Of course, they accuse us of doing that. I wrote down a little outline for a message I want to preach. Haters, deniers, and birthers. That's what they call conservatives. Deniers because we deny man-made climate change. Birthers because we don't believe President Barack Obama is a U.S. citizen. He might be a U.S. citizen, I don't know, but he's culturally not a U.S. citizen. He was raised in Muslim countries, went to school there. What's the other one? Deniers? Haters. We're the haters. We hate homosexuals, supposedly, because we think it's sin. But I think it's just the opposite. I think the truth is on our side. They're the ones denying the truth. That is the ungodly crowd. He says in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Some will say, well, God hasn't shown me that He's real. Oh, yes, He has. You just don't have your eyes open. This spring, I took a lot of pictures of green grass and purple flowers or plants. I think that's a good combination. We've got these trees behind our house. They're not trees, they're bushes. And they never grow very big. Once they grow kind of a couple inches around, they just die. But there's new stalks every year, and they got great big old purple flowers on them. And I think for most of the year. And the first flowers that come up in our flower bed, they're the prettiest purple flowers, but they last 2 days and they're gone. That's it for the year. And if you go out here in the grass, there's little purple flowers all over. I don't know if they're flowers, they're clover, I don't know what they are. But it's magnificent. And I know some people say beauty is subjective, you know, and we say it's beautiful, just that's just, you know, because we think it's beautiful. It doesn't mean it's beautiful. It's just a reflection of colors. Well, it seems to me it demonstrates there is a creator. He made this earth beautiful because this is where we live. I'm glad we don't live on Mars. I know there are some just destined to get us to Mars. I'm like, you people can go there. I'm not going there. There's dust and rock, gray and brown. That's it. And all the time, oh, there might be, there's this water particle. No, there's not. There's no life there. There's no life on the moon. This is a dirty old dusty planet. Not even one green piece of grass. Nothing. There's evidence that there's a God. The evidence is everywhere. The order of the universe, how the sun comes up every morning and how it sets every night. And how it's on a cycle which gives to us our month, our months, and our years. They're for times and seasons, is what the Bible says. And so it ought not to be surprising that we use the sun, the moon, and the stars to keep time. Of course, we could spend a great deal of time giving evidence for how the creation points to a creator. But we don't need to do that. We all know that, and the Bible tells us that here. Verse 19 again says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Even the things you can't see are understood. How? Being understood by the things that are made. It's called, you know, a cause and effect. For every effect, there's a cause. If you have a bruise right here on your cheek, there's a reason it's there. Because somebody smacked you in the face, maybe. Or you fell down the stairs. And so when someone sees the bruise on your face, they say, what happened? What was the cause? There is a world out here. What caused it? Where did it come from? I know they think it illogical to think that a creator made all this. Well, is it any more logical to think that it came from nothing? I think it takes a whole lot more faith to believe that everything came from nothing than it does to believe that it originated with God. It says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they knew Him, they saw the evidence, they glorified Him not as God. They glorified Him. They did not honor Him. They did not reverence Him like they should have. And it says neither were thankful. They didn't look at this world that God gave us and say, thank you, Lord. No. They rejected God. But became vain, that is empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. But boy, know where it began. Their heart, their mind was darkened. As a result of what? As a result of rejecting God. And the evidence that He gave in the creation. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They should put that on the front of every secular university. We're so smart now, they say, we don't need God. What they're going to find is this very country is going to crumble because it rejected God. And now there's no stability, there's no morality to keep things together. That's why the fear has always been that this country will be destroyed from within. Some of the things that I've heard come from the Supreme Court justices yesterday and today demonstrate to me that we are really headed for some dark days, because we have no basis anymore in America to judge right and wrong. No basis. And I'll demonstrate that here in just a minute. It says in verse 23, "And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man." I'm sure in part this is referencing the idols that the heathen and the pagans make, and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, notice this, what follows here is as a direct consequence of rejecting God. What happens other than people's hearts becoming darkened, other than them becoming fools? What happens as a result of rejecting God? "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness." Notice this uncleanness, and here is the beginning of the context on homosexuality, is a direct consequence and result of rejecting God. Because our basis for sexuality with the knowledge of God is that it's something that takes place between a man and a woman who are united in marriage. But if we reject God, are there any limits? Are there any guidelines? Or do we just do whatever we want? Just do whatever we want. And man's desires are carnal and base. And if he is allowed just to pursue his fleshly desires without restraint, there's no telling where they might lead him. "Through lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." You know, that word "creature" there is oftentimes translated creation. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 22, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth." And in Matthew chapter 10, you can turn there if you can turn real quick, in verse number 6, I believe these are the words of Jesus, and he said that I must have the wrong reference. Let me see if it's Mark chapter 10. In any regards, it's the same Greek word that's translated creation rather than creature. It's Mark chapter 10 and verse 6. "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." And so if you understand the word here as creation, it's saying that they worship the creation, or you could say the Creator, more than God. Doesn't that describe our society today? I mean, we have Earth Day, and everybody wants to do something for Mother Nature. Plant a tree, recycle, save the planet. She gives us life, food. No, she doesn't. God does. But when a man or a nation rejects God, they turn their honor, their reverence, towards someone or something else. And in this case, it's the earth. Notice again in verse 26, "For this cause," for this, don't miss these phrases, "for this cause, or again, as a consequence of man's actions, as a consequence of him rejecting God and worshiping the creature or the creation more than the Creator, God gave them up unto vile affections. The word there in verse 24 was uncleanness. But here homosexuality is described as vile affections, shameful affections. For even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And boy, that's one thing that makes you as a Christian just scratch your head. Because you look at the world, the secular world, the progressive world as they like to call themselves, and they like to pride themselves on being the intellectuals and the scientific ones. Well, how come they throw science completely out the window? How come they throw biology completely out the window when it comes to the subject of sexuality? I mean, there's many on the left today that don't even want to admit that there are males and females. You just get to decide. I mean, who's the guy that's been in the news the last couple of weeks? He all of a sudden decided, I'm going to identify as a woman. Oh, you can just decide that? I'm a woman? I didn't watch his interview, or I haven't paid any attention. People have asked me about it, so maybe I should have. Jenner's his name. Bruce Jenner? Again, I don't know everything there is that goes on in people's lives. But I know biologically you can tell whether or not someone is a boy or a girl. But you see, the godless crowd, they don't want to admit that anything that's found in the Bible is true. And so they don't want to admit that God made them in the beginning male and female. But He did. Yet they do that which is against nature. Two men will never have a baby. Two girls will never have a baby. It's not possible. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the women burn in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. Notice the word, two words, in these two verses, against nature and unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense, that is, that reward of their error, which was meet or suitable. In other words, they're going to be judged of God, and their judgment is just. That word unseemly means indecent. It probably wasn't that long ago where it would have been inappropriate to talk about such subjects from the pulpit. And now we've been pressured to have to talk about it. Do you know this is all really taking place, what we've seen in America in the last 10 years? I mean, you young people, you're growing up and you've just grown up with this. But I didn't. Homosexuality was, you know, little feminine crazy guys on comedy shows like Saturday Night Live or in movies. They were always crazy and effeminate and everybody laughed at it, but that was Hollywood's first step in normalizing that behavior. I think the first state allowed homosexual marriages in 2005, maybe 2004, 2005, just 10 years ago. And now there's 36 states where it's allowed. Now, only 11 of them by choice. The other 25, would it be, is by judicial decision. So that could all change, I guess, depending on the Supreme Court's ruling. But it says in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't want to think about God. They wanted to get rid of the truth of God. And therefore, what did God do? He gave them over to a reprobate mind. Again, a mind that lacks discernment. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody who has truly rejected God? They lack all sense and logic. And I found it difficult to talk to people like that because their thinking is completely backwards. Now, fortunately, here in America, I haven't met a lot of people that way, probably because we live in the Midwest. We could probably go out to the left coast and find all kinds of them. But he said he turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They're not becoming. They're not fit. Notice some of the words that are used here in these verses to describe homosexuality: uncleanness, vile affections, against nature, unseemly, not convenient. And again, this behavior is the result of rejecting God. And some want to say, I'm homosexual and I'm Christian. By whose definition? That's like someone saying, well, I worship the devil, but I'm a Catholic. Huh? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Some people think a Christian is simply doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's what some people think Christianity is all about. And that's a large part of it. But that's not the starting point. The starting point is loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might, and believing that the God of the Bible is the God of heaven. They have begun, the justices have begun asking questions of the lawyers involved in the Supreme Court case. Anthony Kennedy, he's always seen as the swing vote, which is interesting. They thought he was going to be the swing vote in the Obamacare decision, and he kind of voted in the manner we would have hoped, but then Chief Justice Roberts threw us under the bus. But he said gay marriage has only been debated for a decade. And he wondered aloud whether scholars and the public need more time. He said marriage has been understood as one man and one woman for millennia plus time. Yeah, for 6,000 years. It's very difficult for the court to say, we know better. Those are some of the best statements to come out of the hearings. Because he's right. Marriage has been defined in a specific way since the creation. I mean, if we evolved from a single-cell amoeba, why is there marriage? Now, I know that the godless have their theories. That's all they are, is theories. But we know why there's marriage. Because God instituted it. But again, he said, who are we to say we know better? That's exactly right. And what the Supreme Court justices need to recognize is they are accountable to a higher authority than themselves. And it would be nice to have a justice, a Supreme Court justice, who would say that. Kennedy told the lawyer, Kennedy, in the course of arguments, posed skeptical questions on both sides. He pressed the attorney on the other side, those opposing same-sex marriage. He asked him to explain how granting gay couples a right to marry would harm traditional marriages. You know, most all the questions I've read of the justices are just like this one. And after I read them, I always say to myself, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with the purpose of the Supreme Court? They are supposed to determine whether or not a law is constitutional. It doesn't make any difference whether it's going to hurt or not hurt traditional marriage. That doesn't matter. The effects of this on society, that doesn't matter. They're supposed to judge a case on the merits of the Constitution and whether or not that law is constitutional. And by the way, just like with Roe v. Wade, there's nothing in the Constitution that says anything about abortion or homosexuality. Chief Justice Roberts said gay couples seeking to marry are not seeking to join the institution of marriage. He said, you're seeking to change what the institution is. Yeah. Marriage is that relationship that exists between a man and a woman. Two men together is not a marriage. Courts trying to determine whether states can continue defining marriage as the union of a man and a woman or whether the Constitution gives gay and lesbian couples the right to marry. Of course it doesn't. That's why they've never married up till the last 10 years. Justice Scalia, conservative, you know, judges things by the merits of the Constitution, said the issue is not whether there should be same-sex marriage, but who should decide the point. He expressed concern about the courts imposing a requirement on the states that is unpalatable to many for religious reasons. Justice Stephen Beyer asked if the nation needs more time to wait and see whether gay marriage is harmful to... Again, what in the world has that got to do with their jobs? Does everybody understand the role of the Supreme Court? They don't pass legislation. They judge the merits of a law, whether or not it's constitutional. Of course, the lawyer on the other side responded, the wait and see has never been considered a justification for discrimination under the Constitution. This is not discrimination. And people need to quit calling it that. This is not similar to the civil rights era. A man cannot help if he's black, white, yellow, or green. But he can help how he behaves. He might not be able to help what his desires are. I don't know. Maybe people do have same-sex desires. Doesn't make it right any more than it's right, any more than it makes it right for a man to have desires for a woman that's not his wife. Or a woman to have desires for a man that's not her husband. The states on our side, they at the debate said the case is not about the best marriage definition. It's about the fundamental question regarding how our democracy resolves such debates about social policy. Who decides? The people of each state or the judiciary? You know, why don't you allow the states to determine this for themselves, in my humble opinion? You see, but the left, the progressives, everybody's got to be the same. You know, we were founded as 50 states to be unique, to be, come on, it's the left that's saying, we love diversity, we love tolerance, you know, there's great benefits in diversity and difference of opinions and difference of approaches. Okay, then let them be as left as they want out in California and up in New York, but here in the Midwest, leave us alone. Let us cling to our guns and religion if we want to. Let us build coal plants if we want to, and if you don't. Let's see which works better. But now I'm getting more political than spiritual. I really don't care what the Supreme Court decides. It's going to change nothing in the Bible and nothing in the mind of God. God and His morality is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not change. And I'll go on discriminating against homosexualities till the day I die. I'll never marry any. That's discrimination, right? Well, and I don't care what kind of names you call me or how you try to bully me, even though you push these anti-bullying campaigns, nothing's going to change. Of course, this isn't the first cultural battle that we fought, but sadly, we've lost about every one of them. Haven't we? That's not surprising in light of what we read Sunday from 2 Timothy, that in the last days perilous times shall come, and evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That's what we have. But again, it'd be easy to get discouraged, wouldn't it, in today's world? But don't be discouraged. Know that Jesus is coming. This all probably indicates that He's coming soon. It definitely is a time for God to work. And I think when He decides to work the next time, and I'm talking in a big way, it will be to call us out of this world. So don't be disheartened. Understand the times that we live in. Adapt and keep preaching. And just look for Jesus to return. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, again, I pray You help us to understand this passage. Help us to be able to articulate it to others, especially when this subject is discussed so often in our culture today. And God, again, I pray that You would help our country to make a right decision. Lord, I have no confidence in our Supreme Court justices. I have no confidence in our Congress or our President. We can't even have confidence in our own state house anymore, in the conservative Indiana, as, Lord, they've capitulated and given in to the homosexual crowd. But, Lord, I have confidence in Thee. And I know that if You move and act, that You could prevent the spread of this immorality, at least for now, in our country. And I pray, God, that You would do that. I pray that You would move upon these justices' hearts to act in harmony with Thy Word. Lord, so that our culture would not continue to grow more and more ungodly, and so that there wouldn't be multitudes of young people and perhaps even older people be led astray by these godless practices and godless ideas. So, Lord, if You choose to, and it be Thy will, intervene in this decision. And, Lord, we'd be careful to praise You for when the decision comes down. But, Lord, regardless, may we know what Your Word says on these issues, and may we stand on the Word of God, regardless of the degree of reproach it brings to us or our assembly. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.